everyone. This is a special bonus episode. This is the third in our series where we are coming to you in real time to talk about the coronavirus epidemic and the lockdown that we are experiencing. We are both on stay-at-home orders, and now this is what? We're in our third week? No, second week of stay-at-home? I can't remember.
Yes. Today is my 13th day.
It's the 13th day.
Isolation.
It is Wednesday, March 25th for everyone who's listening. We will likely be releasing this tomorrow. So you'll be listening. So we are usually delayed, as people know, and we're keeping our podcast, the main episodes, more evergreen, talking just sort of about our general lives and trying to keep it a little bit of COVID-free, of a COVID-free space. Yeah. So, but here is where we talk about all the stuff that's going on while we're on quarantine. So, Shauna, what have you been doing in this crazy, crazy world we've been living in?
Oh, my God. Who even knows? Minutes are blending into hours, which are blending into days. I mean, it all just feels like this one amorphous like fluidity ocean of time. I don't know. It's very weird. And I'm trying to find ways to create distinction in my days. Like the day doesn't start until I brush my teeth and put on a bra. And, you know, like I've got to do something.
Yeah.
Concrete to kind of start the day. I saw something that someone posted, like a funny meme recently. It was like, oh, it's 9 o'clock p.m. Time to change out of my daytime pajamas and into my nighttime pajamas.
Yeah, totally.
I'm kind of like, well, kind of. I mean, I don't straight up wear pajamas, but
I'm
you
fully
know,
wearing
like,
pajama pants right now. I usually
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, comfier pants for sure.
Comfy pants. I feel like both of us have a lot of experience working from home. So I think we've both learned that the pajama days are fun at first, and then they start to make you feel very like schlubby and like
so groggy and schlubby and just like what does Steve and I call it? Slunchy. We just made up a word. It's like, God, I feel like a slunch. So very slunchy, and I'm definitely trying to overcome that. Twice this week, I just, first thing in the morning, I took a shower. I even like dried my hair. I put on some makeup. Some of my meetings are over Zoom and stuff. And I'm like, well, I'll just like look more presentable. And it just felt better. It felt better to put on an outfit I liked and just have a little makeup and not feel like I look like a walking zombie all the time. So that has helped me.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to the makeup lengths yet, but I also don't usually wear makeup. So
Yeah. Well, then no need to gussy up.
gussy up.
The other thing I was going to mention is, well, first of all, since we last reported, I think the day after our episode, our Governor Newsom officially like shut down all non-essential businesses. And even though they're not calling it like full lockdown, that's kind of what it is. And
Okay. So I'm trying to remember. So when the first time we recorded, it was like just kind of recommendations of like, maybe you should start staying home more. And then the second time we were like, they had closed a lot. They had like really recommended people stay home. And it was like,
they closed bars,
they
restaurants,
closed bars,
and
restaurants. Yes. Yes. And then now we have a true stay at home order, which is like, don't leave unless you really have to do something essential. And And they've like closed down parks and beaches and stuff too.
Yes, because too many people were going to those places, which is so sad and really hard, I can imagine, for people who live in apartments or condos. I mean, there's not outside space. Like in the last apartment I lived in, I would definitely be going crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm really thankful I have a yard, and I'm thankful that, you know, we have a neighborhood to walk around. So the thing I was going to talk about a little bit was just this, all of these emotions I've gone through in the last 13 days, like how I've processed this whole thing. It's been very interesting. Like at first it was kind of like, what? Really? You know, just kind of like a little bit of disbelief. And then I went through some like indignation, just like, God damn it. This is annoying because it's putting the brakes on some like big things in my life that I had started going, which I'll talk about probably on a future episode, and like just stopped all of that. And I was so mad. And, you know, it's just so hard to work from home and have to take care of two kids. And then I'm like, well, it's kind of nice to have them here. And maybe I should just focus on the positive. So I feel like I'm at a place now of like a little bit more acceptance, a little bit more of like being able to let things go and generally I'm feeling a little bit happier than I was. So
that's good.
Yeah, that is good.
Did you see that article I posted on Facebook from the Harvard Business Review?
Which one?
The one that's, the title of it is "That Discomfort You're Feeling Is Grief."
I did read that, and I was excited to read it because as I was going through some of these feelings a couple weeks ago, especially like the anger and stuff, mm-hmm. I was like, this reminds me of the grief process.
Yeah.
And so reading that, I was like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. And I like how the author is like, he adds meaning like as one of the steps to mm-hmm. the grieving process. Like in the end, like hopefully a lot of us will come out with like a sense of meaning of like, what does all this mean? How is it going to change us? You know, how, whatever. So
yeah, I'll post like that in our show notes because it was a really great article for me to read because it really validated my feelings. It really resonated with me mm-hmm. and it made me feel a little less like selfish about it. Cause I, the whole time I keep having these thoughts, like anytime I'm upset about what's going on, I'm like, but I have it good. I shouldn't be so upset. And he even mm-hmm. addresses that in the piece. He was like, we are the first generation to have feelings about our feelings. So we mm-hmm. say like, I feel sad, but I feel bad about feeling sad because I shouldn't feel sad because I have so much like to be thankful for. And yeah. I'm like, oh, that's me. He's talking about me. So it was, I found it to be really nice. I don't want to minimize people who are going through like grief for losing a loved one or anything mm-hmm. like that, because it's a different kind of grief for sure.
Oh, but absolutely.
I'm going to post the link. It's from the Harvard Business Review. You can Google it too. And it just, it made me really feel like he hit the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the one last thing I was going to mention is that there's this strange irony of my personal situation with all of this, in that I'm in like social isolation that's mandated by yeah. the governor, but yet I feel less isolated because my husband is home all the time now. Mm-hmm. Elle is home all the time now. You know, before, especially when my mother-in-law's out of town, it's just me and the baby for like 12 hours a day. I didn't have a car for a while. I felt really isolated, and that does make me feel depressed. But now that like everyone's here and we're all in the house and we're all in it together, I'm actually more energized. I think because I'm just like an extrovert. I like being around people. I really don't need a ton of like alone time to feel good or to recharge. A little bit is helpful, but so overall, I actually feel, I don't know, more energetic this week or something. We'll see how it is next week, but yeah. What about you? What's going on with you guys?
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of in the same boat as you in the, from like the mood perspective. I was thinking about it today, you know, knowing we have to record, I was sort of thinking about how I was feeling, like really doing some introspection. And I realized mm-hmm. like, I feel like I've kind of gotten into a groove with this. Mm-hmm. It's not that different from my daily life, except for we just don't do our activities, yeah. you know, and you can't use like going to the park as a, you know, distraction mm-hmm. for the toddler. So right. I've had to be a little more creative with that. But for the most part, I feel like now I know what I'm going to do on a daily basis. I know what to expect, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to wake up and then I'm going to like, you know, we're going to, the first thing we do is like wrangle after breakfast is like wrangle the toddler into clothing so we can go outside in some form, mm-hmm. whether it's in our yard or what we've been actually doing lately is going on little walks around the neighborhood and not in the stroller. So, 'cause mm-hmm. I've realized that he's now stable enough that I can just put him on the sidewalk and let him walk. Like it had never kind of occurred to me.
Well, yeah. Oh, they love that. Cece loves it.
Yeah. And so that's just like so exciting for him. And he mm-hmm. wants to look at every little rock and every little plant. And he wants aww. To smell every little flower, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's been tough because it rained. Although I think you saw this on social media and we will probably have to post this to our Instagram. I got my baby or toddler a rain suit. like a right. full body, I think they call it the muddy buddy, and I only have been able to get him into it once, but he loved it. He thought it was so funny, and he looks like a little, like, I don't know, someone said he looked like a little Missy Elliott in that video where she was like in the big puffy outfit or like one of those blow up dinosaur costumes or a little duckling.
Funny. Yeah, duckling, so, is what I thought of. Yeah. Probably because it's yellow.
It's yellow, yeah. So, but yeah, so we're just trying to get outside in some form twice a day, mm-hmm. in the morning and the afternoon.
Good.
And, you know, we just have our routine down. And I am also feeling a lot less guilt about leaning hard on Sesame Street.
good, good.
I mean, it's not on all day, but when I need to do stuff in the kitchen, I just have to turn it on, you know? And it really, mm-hmm. he'll still play. He kind of like runs around, but then it keeps him from losing his mind. Good. And like standing at the gate and just being like, mama, mama, mama. Mm-hmm. So, and that's also helped me do some baking.
Cool.
So this week I've started to make sourdough bread. That's my new thing because a friend of mine gifted me some sourdough. We did a porch pickup. She left it outside her door and I picked it up. And so I'm learning how to maintain the starter. And like right now I have two loaves that are about ready to go into the oven once we stop recording. So yeah, I've been trying to do that. And that's a process. It's not a lot of hands-on time, which is nice, but it requires you to like check in every certain number of hours, and it's not good if you're out of the house. Like, you have to be home for it, basically, or plan your day around it. So it's the perfect thing for when you are going to be home no matter what, you know? It's just like, well,
perfect.
Make some sourdough. So working on that. And that's honestly been really helpful for me, sort of on a twofold thing. Like, on one hand, I'm being creative, and I love baking, and I get a little bit of a semblance of alone time. You know, the baby's over playing in his little play area and I have my eyes on him, but I kind of am doing something for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then carbs.
Oh yeah,
you end up with lots of delicious carbs.
Whoa, I've been eating so many carbs. I think I ate bread or pasta every single meal yesterday. It was just, it's all I want. Like last night, I just like, all I want is like garlic pasta. Aleo eolio, baby.
Oh, it's so good. Do your kids eat that? Good.
I don't know. I've never made it for them.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I feel like
I eat dinner way after my kids. I'm talking like 9 o'clock at night.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I make totally separate meals for my kids. Yeah.
We've started trying to do dinner time together because that's another benefit of Corey working in the back. You know, he's in the garage. He can be home for dinner time. There's no commute.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to make us, if not the same dinner, like try to eat at the same time, because it's also really nice to be done. Like once he's in bed, not to have to worry about, okay, now what are we going to eat? Now what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm. And true.
I feel better when I don't eat so late.
Mm-hmm.
I know people have been telling me that for years and I'm like, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
You can step back with your helpful comments. I'm going to eat at 9:30 if I want. But now I'm like, oh yeah. Early bird special is great for us. So
it's true.
But yeah, I'm like you. I feel like there's a bit of acceptance. I'm not to meaning yet. I know what the meaning should be in the long term, but I'm still too anxious about how this is unfolding, whether it's going to last long enough. Like I am of two minds. Like on one hand, I want it to last a really long time so everyone can be healthy. And on the other hand, I'm like, oh, I want this to be over soon so we can hang out with people. So
I know. That and anxiety. Also just, the anxiety of like you keep hearing that the worst is yet to come for California. You know, people are going to get sick. The hospitals are going to get overwhelmed. And I get scared of that. And I've really stepped back from reading a lot of news and a lot of stuff. And in my like Facebook moms groups and stuff, like I'll read headlines to kind of keep up on it. And I'll read like what the governor and mayor say about what we're supposed to do. But it's, gosh, I don't know. I could get really scared. So I'm trying to focus on my own little bubble here. And my therapist said something today that I really loved. He was like, you know, if the times do get hard ahead, one good thing is you know that you and your family are doing a good thing right now. Like the last 13 days, you are doing your part to flatten the curve. You'll never look back and say, oh gosh, you know, did I spread it unknowingly? Did I hurt somebody? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, no, we're staying in. I have gone to the grocery store a couple times quickly, but other than that, we don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So it occurred to me, you know, when he said that, I was like, yeah, that's true. Like we are doing our part to like put an invisible shield around, these are his words, the vulnerable population, the older population, people who are most at risk for this. And we're trying to protect them. So that felt good and a little bit more like meaning in what we're doing right now.
Yeah, that's really nice. I should mention that last week I talked about baseball diamonds. Well, we're not going to those anymore either.
Oh, gosh, things are changing so fast. Are the parks just simply closed? Like they would fine you if you were there or what?
Here's the thing. I don't know for sure. So last time I went was, I think, last week, right after we recorded. And as I was there, it was right after the LA County, I ordered the lockdown of everything, you know, shut down of everything. And I was in the baseball field and I saw a guy come with like caution tape and he roped off the playground area.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And he tied like the swings together so people couldn't swing or anything. So yeah, and then I was like, oh shit, he's gonna lock me in. Like he's gonna lock me in this baseball diamond, but thankfully he left me. So I'm such a rule follower. I haven't gone back because I don't want to get yelled at. I was so worried I was going to get yelled at that whole time. Oh, and we were the only ones in the baseball field, like the only ones. So plus he kind of, you know what? My toddler kind of got bored of it. He was just here again, you know?
Oh, the toddler attention span, how they crave to discover more of this brand new world.
I know.
So have you guys gone to the grocery store or how are you approaching shopping during this time?
So the last time I went to the store was, I want to say like a week and a half ago.
Wow, you must have gotten a lot of stuff.
Well, if you remember, I panicked about this earlier than everyone else and went and stocked up on a lot of stuff early. Not hoarding, I should mention, just like, you know, enough to last a couple of weeks.
Buying in bulk.
Yes. Yeah. Just like your usual Costco trip, basically. But yes. I just went early. And then I had gone to Vaughn's another time. And then this last trip, I went to Bristol Farms, which is like the fancy grocery store nearby.
Oh, okay.
And because I had heard that they had eggs and we needed eggs. Oh, because Corey went to the store, came back with 24 eggs and promptly dropped them on the floor. Two survived. Two.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, you know, I knew it wasn't his fault. I mean, it was his fault, but I knew it wasn't intentional. And like, I just was doing everything in my power to just, I was so disappointed. You know, I was just like, come on, dude. Everyone's talking about how they can't find eggs anywhere. Eggs. You found 24 and dropped them. And then he like tried to half-assedly like blame it on the person who packed his bags. Like, they put it in this bag. They shouldn't have put it in this bag. I'm like, okay.
Oh my God.
Not their fault. They're working in the middle of a crisis. Like, you dropped them.
Exactly. So, the goddamn heroes right now being out there.
I needed to get more eggs, and I heard that this fancy grocery store had them, and they did. And actually, it was pretty nice. People were staying away from each other for the most part, and they were totally stocked full of meat, which I thought was really good. They didn't have, like, too many dried goods, but it was actually a fairly pleasant experience. I wore gloves. I wore cloth gloves, like snowboarding gloves. Well, not snowboarding gloves, like the liners, you know, like cloth gloves.
Yeah, I just love the visual of you with like these big, fat, puffy snow gloves trying to pick
things. No. They're just like cloth gloves. They were Corey's. They just were around. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to wear these. So I wore them in the store and then took them off before I got in my car and then hand sanitized. And the idea, in theory, is to avoid, I don't know. I don't know if it made a difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the last time I went. And I have to say, I got an Amazon Fresh delivery. So,
oh, that's good. I tried
or whatever it's called, Prime Now.
I tried to get something like that. I tried to get Ralph's, and like there was just no delivery, no pickup time. So, yeah, I've gone to the store a few times.
What I found with the Amazon Prime Now is that I loaded up my cart and then I had to check back like 5 or 6 times to try to get, like, basically, it was hard to find. So, I just checked back, and they finally saw there was a window and I clicked on it.
Okay, so that's a hot tip. Good.
It's good because my baby's addicted to fruit, so I can't, you know, I have to get groceries every once in a while or else he doesn't get his fruit. I don't know.
Yeah, it's that stuff. It's the milk, the eggs, the fruit, fresh vegetables that, you know,
how about
keep us going back every few days. Yeah, I've gone a couple times, on average about maybe once a week, and I've noticed that if I go like first thing in the morning, like 7:45 a.m. to Sprouts right over here, that is pretty good. It's not too busy. Yeah, it's not a bad experience. So, but you know, it's nerve-wracking to go in and, you know, think you might be catching something. So, but
I know.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
We try to avoid it. So, Shauna, I think we need to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with a very special interview to talk about things we can do with our kids to keep them entertained during this lock-in.
Hallelujah. Let's do it.
Be right back.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We are back, and we are very excited to have a conversation with Ayelet Marinovich, founder of Learn With Less. We talked with Ayelet back in episode 39, back when my baby was a very, very tiny little newborn, and I think Laura's yours was too. And we're so excited to have you back, Ayelet. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and how families during this wild and unusual time in our lives can connect and play with our little ones without having to purchase lots of new toys or items, or how can we interact and entertain our kids around the house with what we have? We would love to know.
Yeah. So so my work really, because of my background as a pediatric speech language pathologist, I have been working with families with infants and toddlers for the last 10 years plus. And when we're talking about helping families support their child's development, whether that's communication or otherwise, it's really all about the fact that infants and toddlers learn best through everyday interactions, everyday activities, everyday environments, and people that they see every day. Mm-hmm. And so you are already doing it. And so let's talk about how you're already doing it and how you can integrate more support for communication, cognition, motor and sensory, and social and emotional development. And really, what I want to encourage people to do is figure out ways that they can integrate more of what I consider to be the four pillars of learning with less, which are play, talk, sing, and move. Mm-hmm. So I think specifically we want to, do you want to start with the younger and go to the older, or how, like how, you know, because obviously those pillars sort of are fluid within all ages between birth to say 3 years old. But I'm happy to give a few examples specifically for a few different ages within all of those things.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Let's start with younger. I know a lot of our listeners sort of caught on to our show during their pregnancy and are now sitting at home wondering what to do with their infants, probably from, you know, 6 months to a year. And I think I remember that being a confusing time because, you know, a lot of them can't quite walk yet, but they're still starting to get these gross motor skills under, you know, under wraps. And there would be days where I just stare at my baby and be like, so what are we going to do? What are we supposed to do with each other today?
Well, I think, I mean, even in the like 3 to 6 month range, right? Like there's so many questions already, like, oh, is this normal? Am I doing that wrong? Like we spend in those first few months, so much time sort of caring for a baby that we find ourselves sort of wondering, starting to wonder then even within that 3 to 6 month range, like whether we're actually doing enough for their development as they become more active participants in their world. So I think a few ideas, even for that 3 to 6 month old, one I could say thinking like a blanket, right? A blanket, a towel, a sheet, and say a partner, maybe you and your partner, or just maybe you and your child, that's fine. Or an older sibling. So say like with the baby on her back, grab a blanket or a towel or a sheet and raise that and lower the cloth over your baby. Sing a song or chant a rhyme to the rhythm of your movement. And this is going to stimulate your baby's visual senses with the colors and the movement of the material, stimulate her auditory senses with the sound of your voice. You're playing, you're talking, you're singing. Your baby's sense of movement is stimulated. Maybe she's looking from one side of the room to the other, right? Play, talk, sing, move. Done.
Awesome.
And bubbles are a great thing. If you happen to have some on hand, awesome. I know Amazon's open these days. That's a great thing to do. You can even make bubbles with soap and water. Mm-hmm. And really, bubbles, I think, are one of those great things from very early on. Things like, for instance, grab the bubbles and blow them onto a wand, right? And then it can stick there. And you can bring it really close to your baby within like, say, that 10 to 12 inches so that they can see it up close. And that's going to create a focal point, basically, for her. So something interesting where she can focus her eyes. She might extend her arm to attempt to reach for it. She can even pop the bubble herself. And you can then reinforce that action by exclaiming the word pop. You can take turns popping bubbles and encouraging your child's motoric skills, right? That even that early reaching and grasping, cognitive skills, you're engaging in activities that support cause and effect. Sensory skills, she's going to perceive how high to extend her arm in order to reach it. She's visually stimulated by the bubble. She's auditorily stimulated by your words. And then, of course, communication skills, right? The vocabulary you're using, the turn-taking skills you're modeling, all of those things. And there you have, like, all four areas of development. You're playing, you're talking, you might add some rhythmic, you know, just some like, okay, here we go, every time you put the bubble wand back in, right? I mean, singing again, like, doesn't have to mean that you're singing a song that you know all the words to. So I want to really reiterate that to people, that there's a lot of flexibility within all of these things. And I think we tend to feel like, oh, I have to do it right, right? I have to do all these things right. Or my voice doesn't sound good. Or I don't remember the words to the song or whatever it is. Like, you don't have to sing. You don't have to lay on the floor all day with your baby. You don't have to talk incessantly. And you don't have to run in circles around your child. Like, none of those four things are things that I'm telling you to do. Mm-hmm. I'm suggesting, like, think of those four words, play, talk, sing, and move, and think of ways that you can integrate more into what you're already doing. So another thing that you might utilize, things that you already have, right, could be things like during bath time, water play with, say, bubbles again, or containers. You don't have to have a lot of, you know, water or bath time toys. You can just let your baby explore the sensation of bubbles and the warm water. Mm-hmm. Watch what he does on his own, and then model, say, poking one to pop it. You can use an empty container to fill up and empty out water. You can make the sound effect of the glug, 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 right, as you fill it up. You can provide the vocabulary for what you're doing just by narrating, right? Fill it up, pour it out. And then whether or not your baby is stable, sitting up independently, taking a bath together can be a wonderful opportunity for skin-to-skin contact and sensory play in that sort of warm, comfy environment. I know for the last few weeks, we have been in a shelter-in-place state right now, and my 3-year-old, whenever he wants to take a bath or do play with some water, that's awesome. That's like a perfect thing for us to do at any time of day. Mm-hmm. It's guaranteed to be, you know, fun and exhilarating. And there's a ton of sensory play and a ton of all kinds of, you know, vocabulary and movement. And it's great.
That's such a good point and a good idea. I know I'm hooked on the idea of, like, bath time is at the end of the day, right? And like before, yeah, bed. But it really can just happen anytime. My kids absolutely love the bath and love the water. So yeah, why not
midday,
yeah, bath, water, yeah, play? That's awesome.
It's water play. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember, yeah, that you don't need a water table for water play. Like, you, right, can literally do it in the bathtub.
Awesome.
You can do a lot of artwork in the bathtub too.
Oh.
And messy play is a great place for, the bathtub is a great place for messy play because it's going to get rinsed out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If we wanted to move into more of those sort of late infant, early toddler kiddos, obviously, I mean, and again, all of these ideas are great for, you know, you can adapt them to any age. Containers, little people like around 9 to 12 months love containers. And when I'm talking about containers, I'm talking about, say, an egg carton, an empty egg carton. If you can find eggs.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
or, you know, even any carton, any shoebox, any whatever, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of containers in your home. So an egg carton, for instance, and a few smallish, non-chokable items. So I've used things like pretend food, plastic Easter eggs, little animal figurines, a tiny sock, a finger puppet, Duplos, a potpourri sachet, a little pine cone, leaves, right? I mean, it does not matter. Whatever you can find that might fit inside, just offer the carton to your baby and then put those objects in, take them out, talk about what they feel like, what they are, if it's heavy or light, compare and contrast them. You can model, say, a particular way to explore those objects or a couple of them together without expectation that your baby imitate or like use the materials in the same way, right? Because this is, again, about play. Play with an infant or toddler is not about following the rules of a game, as we all know very well. It's about following your baby's lead. So you want to validate and provide feedback for what your child is doing. So that means that, you know, if your baby wants to dump out all the objects, awesome. Let her go for it and say something like, out, they're all out. In, let's put them in. Or hat, I'm wearing it as a hat. I mean, this is play. It doesn't matter. This is literally how you're filling up your day. And not only that, you are supporting her social emotional interactions, her cognitive abilities by, you know, problem solving, getting these things out or putting them back in, her motor skills again, and her, like, all that communication with all that vocabulary. Like, you're done. You've done a great thing. And I know that this is a hard time for all of us. Before we hit record, I told Shauna and Laura that I was really excited about coming on and chatting with you guys because I'm an extrovert and this is really hard. And, you know, I think we all have to stop beating ourselves up as well. They're going to have some screen time. They're going to be bored. They're going to need you more because you're there more, perhaps, you know, and it's hard. It's hard. I'll just say that. But I want to show you with these examples that you are probably already doing so much. And these are just more ideas for you to see what you're doing and see that what you are doing is real. It's very simple, and you are already doing so much as far as the development piece.
That's good. That takes a weight off. Yeah. You know, you feel even just in the setting up, I've got all these toys and, you know, it's like in activities and like half of them take this long to set up and then they play with it for 2 minutes and then I have to clean it up. It's just like, it could be as simple as like talking, singing, moving, and the other one.
Yep. Moving, playing. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I recommend. What do you guys think? Any questions, concerns? What does that bring up for you?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So I have a toddler who's 15 months old and a daughter who's 4 years old, and they're now spending a lot more time together. Do you have any experience or advice for the two of them playing together, or do you think I should find time to, you know, spend one-on-one more with the toddler so we can do these more simple things? Because the older one bowls her over. I mean, you know, she just demands more all around. So I would love some advice on that.
Yeah. So good luck finding the time.
Number one. I know. Oh, my God.
So I'm not going to tell you that you need to find the time, Shauna.
Thank you.
But what I like to do when possible is to involve the older one in the younger one's play.
Okay.
And have them be the leader, for instance.
She would love that.
So whether you've got a couple of things like a couple of scarves, right? Like, say you've got a scarf or a dish towel or some like muslin swaddle cloths, right? So maybe you guys can sit around and figure out, you know, scarf pretend play. Hold up that material above your child and sway it up around and sing a silly song and then drop it and then take a turn, right? Maybe that's what you do, and then show your toddler, like, what could you do with it? Or your older one, your preschooler aged. What can you do it? Or can you do that? Or maybe there's a different song or something like that. They're not always going to be wanting to engage. They're not always going to want to be the leader. They're not always going to want to touch these things appropriately. And that's fine, right? I mean, it's okay. It's not always going to work. But the more you involve the older one in the becoming of the controller, because that's what they want anyway, the more fun they're all going to have. And your little one is going to be able to imitate the older one in a way that doesn't feel like being copied, right? And your older one is going to feel more like they're in control. So, and that also is a great way to call attention to how the younger one is doing something and maybe help you and your older child imitate the younger one. So for instance, mm-hmm. you might hand a scarf or whatever to the baby, and the baby might, you know, move, jut her arm out, you know, intensely suddenly. And you might say something like, oh, it looks like it's a snake. It's moving so fast. Mm-hmm. And then you guys, and you might say, oh, let's move like a snake together, right? With the older one. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, off the cuff here. Yeah. Like, these are the kinds of little moments that really, like, that's social emotional development. Mm-hmm. Cool. You're engaging all together in a very short, very simple play routine, and you're creating opportunities for, you know, social interaction and for, you know, impulse control perhaps, and for notice and mm-hmm. building empathy. You're helping the older one notice what the younger one is doing, mm-hmm. what that might mean and what that might say. And the more you do things like that, the more you are building that bond between each you and each of your children and between each other.
Cool. I love that. Thank you so much. I'm definitely going to start doing that.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
So I have the inverse question, which is my toddler, who's 14 months old, is extremely social, and we love going to like toddler me class and all this stuff. Yeah. And we do not have a sibling. I've always joked that he would have loved to have an older sibling because he just loves being around other kids. What do we do right now? Like, what do we do when he can't see other kids?
Yeah. I think, first of all, you are there as much as you can be. I know you work, Laura. I know we are all working. It's very hard to be social in any way with that age. I do want to put in a plug for synchronous meetings virtually, like FaceTime or Zoom or whatever. I know that we are very reticent to do a whole lot of screen time with our young children. And, you know, we should be aware of that. But the kinds of interactions that you can have, at least, especially right now, on a computer or a phone where someone is reacting, it's that cause and effect, action, reaction, interaction between a child and a parent or two adults or whatever it is, that's fine. That's not considered that, you know, quote unquote, bad screen time. Mm-hmm. Those are things that you can do. So whether it's with grandparents that you can't see right now or other children that your child knows or, you know, a virtual music class or whatever it is, like, that's great. So things like that are fine. And another thing that we like to do recently is take walks in the neighborhood. If that is something that you can do in your area, go for it. Or even, you know, making a picture and hanging it up in your window and noticing other people walk by and see it and waving to them, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Recently, like when we go outside and go for a little bike ride in the neighborhood or even just look out the window and wave at the people going by, it's like, humans, fellow humans, right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm saying hi to more strangers than I ever have.
Yeah. And those are the tiny things that are amazing right now, right? Those are the things that are like, wow, that is kind of incredible. Mm-hmm. it's not all horrible. It's pretty bad, but there are little moments of that we can look at and say, wow, that's kind of incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that help, Laura?
Yes. Well, it all, you know, we have been doing a virtual toddler and me class, which has been helpful. He doesn't seem that engaged in it, but he does love FaceTiming his grandparents. So
that's your baby and my baby need to FaceTime each other.
Yes,
have we not thought about this?
Should we live stream it for our listeners? God,
I kind of think so.
Can we do that? Can I lead them in song?
Oh, yes. That would be awesome.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll have to get that on the books for sure.
Yes.
Well, this has been really nice. Ayelet, do you want to tell our listeners exactly how they can find you? And also, I want to plug Ayelet's books, which, I remember them now. I just wanted to make sure I was getting the title right. Ayelet has two amazing books, one called Understanding Your Baby, which is birth through 12 months, right?
Yep.
And then another called Understanding Your Toddler, which is for the following 2 years. Yeah. Right?
1 to 3 years.
1 to 3. And it's just chock full of amazing information and activities you can do that are developmentally appropriate for every age. In understanding your baby, it goes week by week, which I just absolutely loved. I was reading it like it was my Bible for my baby. Mm-hmm. Ayala, can you tell people how they can find you and order your great products?
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you. I can be found at learnwithless.com. And I have a podcast, the Learn With Less podcast. And if you're curious about looking more into that sort of four pillar framework that I was talking about, you can download a free infant and toddler development blueprint that I have on my site. It's just at learnwithless.com/blueprint. And then the books are available both through my website at learnwithless.com/books and on places like Amazon. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And so before we go, we wanted to ask you if you had a BFP you wanted to share. We're not doing BFNs, but if you wanted to share a BFP with our listeners that's related to, you know, this situation we're in some way or another.
Yes. Sidewalk chalk is my BFP.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. It's been just really, we've been using, so again, I have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. So a little bit on the older side of what we're talking about. But even with my 3-year-old, he, you know, he doesn't put it in his mouth anymore. He can engage with it, and he can, you know, scribble scrabble, as my 6-year-old likes to call it. But we've been like riding around to friends' house or just neighbors in the neighborhood and decorating their driveway, or leaving little messages for friends in the neighborhood, or leaving little messages or drawings in our own driveway. Playing hangman from a driveway width apart with friends has been
fun. Oh, that's cool.
That's so cool.
That's been cool. And yeah, just really just using it to brighten up the day. So
I walked by a message just by my house. Someone had written, "Keep smiling" on the sidewalk. I thought that was very sweet.
That is sweet.
That is sweet.
Well, thank you so much, Ayelet. It's always nice to hear your voice and talk to you. And let's do it again sometime soon.
Can't wait. I can't wait for our baby music class.
Yes, baby music class.
All right. Talk to you guys soon. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Laura, let's take a break and come back with our BFPs for the week.
Let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. And we're back. So on these special coronavirus bonus episodes, we are only doing BFPs, no BFNs. And we are doing one personal Big Fat Positive and one bonus BFP. So Shauna, do you want to share your personal BFP with us?
Yes. This is something I was going to talk about for a while, but I feel like it's so relevant to me right now. This is something else that my therapist shared with me a while ago because he knows I'm a perfectionist and I have a lot of pressure on me as a mom, working mom at home, you know, and all this stuff. And he taught me about this theory of the good enough mother. Mm-hmm. Do you know about this?
It sounds familiar, but tell me more.
Okay. So the phrase good enough mother was coined by the British pediatrician and psychoanalyst D.W. Winnicott in his book Playing and Reality. This is from Psychology Today, that quote. And basically, he realized that, you know, when a baby is a newborn, an infant, they see themselves as part of the mother and connected. But as they grow up, what they actually need is a little bit of tension, a little bit of like discomfort to kind of separate from the mother, become independent. And sometimes as a mom and like trying to be a perfectionist and like do everything right, you kind of like try to just make everything perfect. And that's so much pressure. Like the thing about this theory that I love is that it's actually better to just be a good enough mother. Like, because then you're allowing the child to like learn and grow on their own and become kind of an independent person. If you're trying to like do everything perfect and take away all their distress and be there at every single moment, that actually hurts them a little bit.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, I feel this is so good for me to remind myself of right now because this is such a stressful time.
It really is. Yeah.
I've just added more onto my plate than I ever could have imagined, you know, working from home with two kids. And even though Steve is here, he's very busy, you know, with work. And I'm just parenting these two kids all the time now, every day of the week, you know, the weekends. And
it all blurs together.
It all blurs together. And just giving myself a little bit of a break of like, the TV time, you know, is okay. Mm-hmm. Or telling Elle no, and Cece even too, like making boundaries and prioritizing myself sometimes, you know, by not giving in to every single whim, not getting milk the moment they demand it, you know, because I'm busy. I just feel like it gives me a little bit of breathing room to be like, they're going to be fine, if not better, because being a good enough mother right now.
Yeah. Is that you provide them with all the safety and security they need, but you're not necessarily jumping to their every whim, and you're not, you know, clearing their path of all distress or discomfort or challenges.
Exactly.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And he definitely makes the distinction, like, obviously, abuse and neglect, that's not what he's talking about.
That's not good enough.
Yes, exactly.
That's bad.
But the way you just encapsulated it, I think, is a great, perfect summation, at least of how I understand it. So I think we can all just, like, give ourselves a little break, all the time, but especially during this like wild and crazy period in our life when, you know, it's probably impossible to be a perfect mother.
So. Well, and like Ayelet said in our interview, it's you are already doing it. You're already doing enough. Like everyone thinks, oh, we've got to do all these enrichment activities for them. It's like just interacting and being there and letting them have independent play. All that stuff, that's you're already doing it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's a great reminder. So, good enough. Yeah. Yes. I think I'm a good enough mother.
Oh, you are. Yes. All right. What's your personal BFP this week?
Okay. So you know how they're like, and they being like the whole world is like, stop touching your face. Stop putting your hands in your mouth. You know, like,
yes.
I think that this whole thing has finally gotten me to stop biting my nails.
That's all you needed was a pandemic?
Yeah, apparently, because I've tried everything else.
I recall that you have tried everything.
And I've become completely, like, I was at peace with just being like, that's my vice, I bite my nails. But now I'm like, fuck, I'm going to give myself coronavirus if I keep biting my nails. And then I'm going to infect everyone in my family and they're all going to die. Apparently, it just takes the threat of everyone in my family dying. To be enough to get me to stop biting my nails. But I have nails right now. I don't know if I can, like, let's see if we can hear it. Ready?
Yeah, that's amazing.
You hear that? That is nail tapping against iPhone.
Wow.
It's a new thing. And I have to say I'm a little obsessed with them because I'm a part of it is like, I like fidgeting, you know, I need to, I'm kind of one of those people who kind of has to like, I don't tap my knee, but you know, like I kind of have to, it's part of the reason knitting is good for me. Like I have to like be moving. So now I'm just like obsessively like feeling my nails.
Yes. So. Well, when the world opens back up again, you can go get a manicure.
I know. Imagine that.
I wonder if you'll start biting your nails again after all of this.
I mean, I'm not holding out too much hope because it's such a deep ingrained bad habit. But maybe because they say that it takes, what, 3 weeks to break a bad habit?
Hey, we're
like
2 weeks in. So.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm holding out hope. That's my very, very personal BFP.
Yes. Thanks for sharing.
Do you have a bonus BFP for us?
Yes. I came across this link today, and I think it's great, and I'm excited to share it. I haven't read everything on here yet, but I know that you are also a big fan of Emily Oster.
Oh, yes.
Yes. She was a guest on our show in episode 43. She's a statistician and a mom, and she wrote an awesome book called Expecting Better and one called Crib Sheet. So we love her. She uses science and data and facts to inform decisions during like pregnancy and early motherhood, right? Love her. She has been doing these, I don't know if they're weekly or daily, but very consistent newsletters that you can sign up for and you can actually read a lot of them. And she is addressing what we're going through right now, like with the COVID-19. I believe she is pregnant and she's got, here are some examples of some of the little like articles that she is written and talking about. Updates and delivering alone. I know that some pregnant people are having concerns about, you know, having to deliver their baby alone during this time without a spouse or partner. Birth in the time of COVID-19. She shares her thoughts on that. Should I stop trying to conceive? Trying to address like questions that she's receiving about that kind of thing right now. So I don't know. I don't know that a lot of it's super relevant to me because I'm not currently trying to conceive or pregnant, but I know that some of our audience is. So I wanted to share that in case anyone wants to look it up and read her thoughts on things. So
I literally just went and signed up.
Oh, good.
Right now.
Yeah.
And also when you sign up, it gives you all the like previous questions.
Yes.
That she has. So fantastic.
So go to emilyoster.substack.com. We will, of course, put that on our website and probably share it on social and stuff, too, because I think it's probably going to be a nice resource for people. So, yeah,
amazing.
There you go. What about you? What's your bonus BFP?
So I have noticed something that's actually that I was suspecting was true, but I wasn't sure, which I think is a real silver lining of this whole lockdown, shut in, whatever you want to call it, stay at home order, which is the air has been so clean.
Oh gosh, yes. Especially
have you noticed?
LA, which is usually like a smokestack.
Yeah, it's usually so terrible. And, you know, it has been raining, so that accounts for some of it, but apparently it does not account for all of it. And I found that I'm not the only one who's noticed this. The New York Times had an article on March 22nd that said traffic and pollution plummet as U.S. cities shut down for coronavirus.
Wow.
And it has these side-by-side maps of emissions in Los Angeles this time last year and this time this year, like in the 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like so diminished. Wow. It's amazing. And the other thing that they pointed out is, and this is all like with data, is they have charts to back up these, you know, observations,
mm-hmm.
is rush hour has all but disappeared.
Oh my gosh.
Like traffic speeds are basically the same all day.
Wow.
Now. They have this amazing graph where it would show like Los Angeles traffic along the 110, which is the freeway I take the most because mm-hmm. it's how you get from Pasadena to downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awful. It's
yeah.
awful. And it shows that, like, you know, the time of day along the x-axis and on the y-axis up and down, it goes from like 0 miles per hour to 60. And usually there's two huge dips that are like morning and evening rush hour.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like steady across, which is so fascinating.
Gosh.
I had to go one. I went out once in the last week to pick up a sourdough starter for my friend's porch.
Mm-hmm.
No contact with anyone. It was, and I consider it essential because it's feeding my family. And I could not believe I went at like 5 o'clock on a Tuesday or something. And it was just like wide open.
Oh, it's amazing.
No one on the freeway.
Same. Yeah. I had to take Cece to the pediatrician. Unfortunately, I didn't really, you know, want to go out to a doctor's office, but I really wanted to have her seen. And yeah, same thing. It's across town, usually can take us like 45 minutes to get home. And it was just like 15 minutes breeze at like 4:30 p.m. I was like,
so weird.
It's weird, but it's the dream, man. I swear, if most of us could just work from home,
I know.
We could solve this pollution problem. Traffic jam problem.
Right? I mean, the article does say, you know, this is probably not going to last long enough to really affect global warming or anything. But, and there was even an expert who was like, please don't take this as a silver lining. It was like, don't tell me where I can find my silver linings or not. Like, this is a silver lining for me. Like, it feels great.
Yeah.
Like, we have a view of the mountains and it's just like crystal clear.
Oh,
it's so beautiful. So,
so nice.
That's my bonus BFP.
Yes.
But I feel like we should probably wrap it up because I think my baby's about to wake up from his nap.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure mine already has. I hear her. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to chime in and let us know what you're going through during this time, we would love to hear it. Please reach out to us. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. Request to join. It's a closed group, but I will add you, and you can join in our awesome conversations we're having there. And you can send us a voicemail or just a regular old email to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com or visit our website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you're doing well. We're sending you big virtual hugs, well wishes, and healthy vibes. We'll see you on Monday. Bye.
Bye.